Anybody have any idea? Do you know that if you don't know why you're here, that it won't mean anything to you? So what I'd like to ask you to do is I'd like to ask you to take a moment to decide why you're here. And if it's for any unloving, judgmental reason, I'd like you to leave. You hear the attack and harm and hurt and judge. I just assume I'd have that person in my experience. And the way you release people who feel that way about you is that you want them to be happy and you want them to be in environments and around people that they do feel trust for and that they do love and it does make them happy. You don't have to attack them. You don't have to get mad at them or anything like that. All you have to do is want them to be where they are happy and where they feel safe. Tonight I'm going to talk about self-concept versus self. It's on page 656 if you got the book. There's about six books up here that are loaner copies. So what I like to try to do is remember that we're not here by accident. No matter how it looked like you got here, that you're really not here by accident. And so what you want to do is to listen for the message for you. Listen for the sentence or the thing that somehow or other you know it's an answer for you. Remember that you don't have to believe any of these ideas or welcome any of these ideas. Some of these ideas you might resist. Some of them might startle you. Some of them might be hard to believe. But if you use the ideas, you'll see that the ideas work. I've been teaching and learning this for 27 years. So I could probably save you some time if you're not familiar with it at all. So if I can help you love yourself more and treat yourself even more mercifully and gently, then I want to help you do that.
Thank you.
So I'm going to show you the power of the Course in Miracles. I'm going to cover a paragraph, and I just want you to see the power of this. Now watch, I'm going to read English, and I want you to check out how you may not comprehend it. Okay, watch this. Everybody speaks English, right? You understand English? Now watch me read the Course and watch what happens to your mind. The learning of the world is built upon a concept of the self adjusted to the world's reality. Your concept of yourself adjusted to the world's reality fits the world well. For this is an image that suits a world of shadows and illusions. Here this image of yourself walks at home where what it sees is one with it. The building of a concept of the self is what the learning of the world is for. A building of your concept of yourself, this is the world's purpose. So this is the world's purpose, that you came here without a self, and you make one up as you go along. And by the time you reach maturity, you have perfected this concept of yourself that you've made up to meet the world on equal terms at one with the world's demands. Okay, everybody got that?
Mm-hmm.
Did you just hear me speak English and part of you was going on? What the hell did he just say? Anybody have an experience? Please raise your hand. Okay. All right, that's cool. That's how you know you're hearing something new. When you first hear something really new, it's probably something that even though you heard it, you don't understand it. And that's kind of like the way you know it must be something different from what you already believe. So you want to be on the lookout for stuff that you hear to make you go, what the hell? Because it's a possibility of something. So, but when you hear it, you're gonna find that what it said was so simple, it's going to trip you out that you didn't hear it. Okay? The Course says that your learning is based on a concept of yourself that's been adjusted to this world. that you've learned to come up with an idea of yourself that's adjusted to what this world teaches. You better get that? And it says that you come up with a concept of yourself that fits this world perfectly. And this is a concept of yourself, he says, that suits a world that's made up of fear. So we've made up a concept of ourselves that would suit being in a world of fear. And the concept of myself that I made up is a concept of myself based on my vulnerability and my ability to be hurt or harmed. So if I think I can be hurt or harmed, I now have a concept of myself that fits the world fine. Are we agreeing? See what I'm saying? Okay, so it says, now, here you are, your concept of yourself. Got it? And then it says, your concept of yourself walks this world at home. So I got a concept of myself of as being Earl Purdy, and this Earl Purdy itself is walking this world. And he says, so the building of a concept of yourself is what the learning of the world is for. So the things we learn in the world help us build our concept of who we think we are. So who we think we are is based on the learning that we've gotten from the world. Everybody hear that?
Yeah.
Who you, when you got here, they say, Earl, you got that cute little baby. You're a cute little black baby. You're a cute little black boy. So as soon as I got here, the world told me what I was. It gave me a concept of myself. You're the black boy in America. Earl. Okay, did everybody else get a concept when they got here? You became a white man, or a white woman, or Indian, or whatever the hell you are, right? So soon as you got here, everybody did what? They started to tell you what you are, and they told you what things are. So you made up a concept of yourself based on the learning of the world. I want to make sure everybody's with me, because this is a very powerful idea.
Hey, Earl, can you start over?
Well, wherever you came in, it was a perfect place.
Okay.
Because the course just repeats itself over and over again. So basically, then it goes on to say, the building of a concept of the self is what the learning of the world is for. He says, that's the purpose of the world. Here's the purpose of the world. The purpose of the world is that you came here without a self. You just showed up. Don't know who I am, don't have a concept of anything. He says, then the world says, since you don't know who you are, you're trying to make it up as you go along. So that's what we've been doing since the day we've been born. We've been making up who we think we are. Is that an obvious truth that everybody can agree on? Ever since you got here, you've been making up a concept of who you are. Okay. Then it says, and by the time you reach maturity, then I'm slightly there, you have perfected this concept of who you think you are. You'll even say, I know who I am. And not only that, you perfected this concept of yourself so that it meets the world on equal terms. What does that mean? You are one with the world's demands. You demand the same things you think the world demands. You totally, by the time we are grown, we want all the things that the world has told us we should want. And we believe all the things that the world taught us we should believe. How many times in your lifetime have you seen marketers make up a need that didn't exist and see everybody want that? Like, people will live without Elmo.
Yeah.
They will. They'll continue to exist without an Elmo, but it's going to be some people die this Christmas because they can't get an Elmo. So do you have a need for an Elmo? No, but you were taught to want it, and so now you want it. You at one with the world's demands. Are you really not valuable unless you have a certain income? Are you really not valuable unless you have a diamond ring in your pocket? Are you really not valuable unless you're a millionaire? Are you really not valuable unless you are brilliant and a writer and a creator? In other words, the course is trying to tell us we have created a concept of ourselves that's at one with the demands of the world, and so now our idea of ourselves is just based on what the world said we ought to need and what we ought to be and what we ought to want. And children know that. And the children being born nowadays, the reason why we're having so much trouble with them is because we're not being honest with them. We're telling them that same stuff that we learned, that we swore when we became adults, we wasn't going to tell our children that same thing. And now we're doing the exact same thing. And all they want you to be is honest. You know who get my classes the most and who will come up and ask me the most profound questions a lot of times since I've been teaching this stuff? 13 and 14 and 10-year-old and 11-year-old children. They'll get exactly what I'm talking about. Adults be going crazy analyzing it. Because they've got to listen to what I'm saying and compare it to their self-concept. And if it doesn't fit in with their self-concept, then they don't believe it. As if something isn't true unless you believe it and agree with it. So the Course says, so now we are at one with the world's demands. I'm not a valuable person unless I make X amount of dollars. Yeah. That's just an example. That was the first paragraph. That was one paragraph of the Course in Miracles. So if I read it again, you'll see it, and you'll be amazed you didn't hear it the first time. Let me show you. The learning of the world is built upon the concept of the self adjusted to the world's reality. Your concept of yourself fits the world's reality well, for this is an image that suits the world of shadows and illusions. So here your image of yourself. Here you are, walking at home, where what you see is one with you, and the building of a concept of yourself is what the learning of the world is for. This is the purpose of the world, that you come without a self, and you make one up as you go along, and by the time you reach maturity, you've perfected your concept of yourself to meet the world on equal terms at one with its demands. Did you hear it that time? Isn't that amazing? Okay, now, it's going to get deeper. Now, the next paragraph says, just a second. A concept of the self is made by you. Your concept of yourself bears no likeness to yourself at all. Your concept of yourself is an idol, made to take the place of your reality as a child of God, which is the Course would define as love. The Course is only talking about love and fear. So even though it uses Christian terminology, it's talking about universal spiritual themes. So it's only talking about love or fear. So it says the concept of the self the world would teach is not the thing that it appears to be. Your concept of yourself that you've learned from the world is made to serve two purposes. Your concept of yourself is made to serve two purposes. Your concept of yourself is made to serve two purposes, but your mind only recognizes one of the purposes. The first purpose of your concept of yourself, the first purpose of your concept of yourself, you have a concept of yourself, is serving two purposes. Here is the first purpose of your self-concept. It presents the face of innocence. You're going to make up a self that's innocent. And he says, now, the face of innocence is the aspect of you that's acted on. So I'm going to make up a face for Earl, and this face is going to be the one that's so nice and innocent, but everybody's doing stuff to it. So I have a concept of myself that people are doing things to me. Anybody got that concept? That people can do things to you? Just so that we'll feel like we're one. Those who know they have an idea that things can be done to them, please raise your hand. Okay, so that means all of us have made up a concept of ourselves that we could be acted on, but we're innocent. All right? Then it says, it is this face. Now check that out. Now, if this face, the face of innocence, the one that can be acted on, he said, if this face that smiles, okay, so I'm going to show you my first aspect. Okay, it's the one that smiles. How you doing? How you doing? How you doing? How you doing? How you feeling today? Okay, everybody see it? Everybody got one? Let's do it to each other. Okay. Now, let me further define in case you're not willing to admit that you have a concept that you made up of yourself that feels like it's innocent, but people are doing things to it. The Course says, it's this face that smiles and charms and even seems to love. Then it says, the aspect of yourself, your face of innocence, it says, it searches for companions. I got me a profile on Match.com right now. I'm searching for a companion. I do. It'd be great if you were out somewhere and somebody introduced themselves to you, and they just, a guy would just straight up and just say, well, why are you on my phone number? I'm searching for a companion. And this is my face of innocence. Because I've made up my concept of myself, and it has two purposes. And my first purpose is to look innocent and pretend like I'm a victim. All right. Then it says, it searches for companions, and it looks, I like this, it searches for companions, and it looks at times with pity on the suffering. Did you hear about what happened in Bangladesh? He said, the dentist sometimes offers solace. Oh, you poor thing. I hope you feel better. That's the face of innocence. Everybody still got one? It believes that it's good within an evil world. So I made up an image of myself that believes it's really good and it's better than most of the things I see. I'm good in this evil world. I'm this nice person in this world that's not loving. I'm this really nice guy in a world that people don't really love each other. So everybody got the first face?
Yep.
Okay, so let's go back. Let's review. You made up a concept of yourself. The concept of yourself that you made up doesn't look like who you really are at all. But your concept of yourself is an idol. Your concept of yourself is an idol. I love drama. See, I look strange. You know why I probably look strange to some people? Because I'm just being Earl. I'm not up here trying to be a teacher. I'm just being Earl. And when people watch you being yourself, they look at you as if you're weird. Because they're so unaccustomed to watching somebody just be, that when they actually walk up on a real person, they're accused of being slightly odd. In this world, a normal person is odd. So you kind of look at them. He's kind of odd. But this isn't really me. What you're looking at is the concept of myself that I made up. You're looking at my face of innocence. You're looking at the one who smiles and charms and even seems like he has pity on people. You're looking at the one who feels like he's a really good guy in the evil world. That's who you're looking at. You're not looking at me at all. You're looking at a concept. Then it says, that the aspect acted upon, it smiles, it charms. Then he goes down and says, I love this. He says, I didn't know my concept of myself was an idol. You know what I'm saying? That's pretty deep when you think about it. In other words, I worship my idea of me. I hang on to my idea of me regardless of what anybody says or does. I'm all into me. I am my own idol. I think about me before I think about you. I don't wake up in the morning and the first thing I think is, have all of you been fed?
You're obviously not a woman.
I don't think no woman, the average woman does not wake up in the morning and ask herself, has everybody been fed? I think when you wake up in the morning, you're thinking about your day and you and what's going to happen with you. That's if we would be honest, that's what we would say. You know why we don't want to admit it? Because we think something's wrong with that. And why would we think something was wrong with that unless we knew something was wrong with that? See, we already know something's wrong with that. That's why people feel guilty. We say, well, wait a minute, I do think about banging the bass after I get my cup of coffee. They just kept me out like, get a cup of coffee in here. I'll be concerned about all the 1,000 people in the bowl. You know, because this is my face of innocence. I'm a good guy within an evil world. So whenever you meet anybody, always know they got two sides, as long as they're not being real. Mm. If they're not being loving, they got two sides. They got a side that they made up, that they're pretending, is a victim of everything around it, that's really nice. And then we got the other side, we get to them looking. So if you feel guilty, you're misperceiving what I'm saying. Because nothing I'm saying is for guilt. what the book is trying to do is free us from a concept that's killing us and keeping us from being alive and enjoying our lives. Because the only thing that keeps me from getting up and walking up to her and just saying I appreciate her and hugging her is my concept of myself. Is my concept of myself is that I'm separate from her, I'm not her, I'm not safe to extend to her, I shouldn't extend to her, something's wrong with me extending to her, that I'm going to sit in that chair and never make a friend. So what has you lonely or alone or broke is your concept of yourself. Not your parents, not your background, not your race, and not your sex. Your self-concept is what's jamming you up. You got a concept of yourself
that sucks.
And people who have sucky concepts of themselves aren't happy. They aren't peaceful. They aren't grateful. They're sad. They feel like I'm really nice, but nobody wants to go out with me. I'm really nice, but I weigh too much. I'm really nice, but I'm not really. The people who have a wrong concept of themselves are imprisoned by the self they made up. Then are you imprisoned by the self you made up?
Give me the key.
Like the answer you would go, I really want to reach, I really would like to speak to her, but I'm afraid. That's you being locked up in your concept of yourself, because your concept of yourself is that you can't do that. If you allow somebody to act the same way all the time, then you're interacting with a concept, not a person. Let yourself chew on that one for a minute. If you're around somebody in the same way all the time, you're now dealing with the concept and not the person. Because a person that's being themselves is going to be spontaneously enchanting. Because they're not all locked up in a certain way to be. And so they'll keep on showing you spontaneously beautiful, new, and different aspects of themselves because they're not afraid to be. Like, I could show y'all a lot more than I'm showing y'all, but I'm afraid to show you more. Yeah. You know why? Because you don't show me more. Mm-hmm. And that's where everybody is. They give you as much love as you let in. Isn't that deep? And that deep? If you walked in here and I look like this, tell me whether or not you run up and give me a big hug. Okay, so your world is a reflection and a mirror of the energy you're giving out. And if you want to know what you're truly giving out as opposed to what you think you're giving out, then all you have to do is look at how your world treats you. And you get out of denial. So, let's go back. Okay, so it says, the face of innocence believes that it's good within an evil world. I got one. Anybody else got one? Okay. Then it says, let's go further. It says, this aspect can what? Grow angry. The face of innocence person grows angry. Why? Because the world is wicked. And the world is unable to provide the love and shelter that my innocence deserves. Why are you angry? I'm angry because this world doesn't provide the love and shelter that I deserve. Why are you angry? This world isn't giving me what I think I deserve. See, he says, you're angry because we think we're in a world that's not giving us what we deserve. Why am I angry at you? You're not giving me what I think I deserve. You didn't treat me like I think I deserve. You said something I don't think I deserve to hear. So anger comes from a feeling like there's something that you are not receiving that you think you deserve, so you're mad. Then it says, and so this face is often wet with tears at the injustices the world accords to those who would be generous and good. I'm crying, but look what you did to me when I was just trying to be nice to you. I'm hurt, look what you did to me when I was just trying to be nice. My face is wet with tears from the injustices that the world seems to do to me. I made up that concept of myself. Oh, I'm trying to be so good in this evil world, and people don't appreciate me. That's one of the concepts of myself. How many of you feel like you don't understand this?
It applies to somebody else.
That's your concept of yourself. That everything applies to somebody else and it doesn't have nothing to do with you. That's another concept. Mm-hmm. See, this is the Course is saying. You tell me who you think you are, and I'll tell you what your concept of yourself is. Because your concept of yourself is anything you think. You tell me what you think and I know what your self-concept is. If you want to be psychic, just realize anything anybody say about anybody else is the truth about them. And you'll have psychic powers.
Wow.
Because people are very generous with their opinions about everybody else. So therefore, everything somebody's saying about everybody else is the way their own mind works, whether they know it or not. So while you're sitting there, they're revealing themselves completely to you in terms of what they would be like to be with. So cool. All you have to do is realize you're listening to their concept of themselves. I think people are stupid. I think they don't give enough. I feel like they're not compassionate. I think they ought to do this, and I'm upset about that. That's their concept. You're talking to a person that's upset with themselves about everything. Is that going to be soon? Because when you say you want to be in a relationship with somebody, you say, I want to go through experiencing the effects of this person's thinking with them. I want to experience the effects of this person's thinking with them. I want to be in a relationship. That means whatever they go through, I want to go through it. I want a relationship with you. I want to go through the results of the way you think. That's right. It's only a scary thought that most of the people around you reflect your own insanity. But if you're a person that you're pretty much coming from a sane place, then it's confident. You mean this lovely, beautiful person in my life, I'm going to get a chance to experience the result of their... Like a friend of mine, you know, just flew me up to Seattle for Thanksgiving. And I had, you know, Thanksgiving dinner in the Space Needle going round and round. And what I experienced was the effect of their thinking with them. So that's a neutral law. That's a law that can bring you beautiful things. It only seems like it's a frightening law when you know you're not thinking loving thoughts. Isn't that deep? So don't be afraid of the law. It's just that we're misapplying the law, and that's why we suffer. The law is cool. We're just not using it right. See, I used to be so into the body of people that I didn't care how crazy they was if their butt was round. You know, it's like I had body parts I was into. And as long as the body part was meeting my particular preference, I'd overlook how crazy she was. Do you ever do that? Do y'all ever have little physical things that y'all like about people? Maybe they're what they have or who they are or their circumstance or some part of their body. And because of that, you just throw your common sense right out of the window with everybody. Please raise their hands. Stop acting like you don't know what to talk about. All right, please. Thank you. Thank you. Don't look at me like I'm crazy. Y'all know damn well what I'm talking about. It's like all of a sudden, he said booty. Can a spiritual man say booty? Look at the butt. You look at the butt before you pay attention to the man. Yes. And the temptation still comes up occasionally. Occasionally. You know, we're so spiritual now, so we can't admit to stuff like that. Oh, I heard about that. I'm spiritual now. I don't have that like that. What is he talking about? That's called frigid. Okay, now. The thing you're most afraid of in yourself is the thing you condemn first in others. So if you're afraid of your own passion, if you're afraid of your own body, if you're afraid of your own sexuality, you're terrified and uncomfortable when anybody mentions anything about the body because you have so much sexual guilt you can't stand the sound of the word. But you're innocent. It's a concept you made up of yourself. See? You have a concept of yourself that it's not okay to feel certain things. That's another concept. And when you're around somebody who doesn't have a concept, they kind of freak you out. But their concept of themselves allows them to express themselves in a way that maybe you don't. Like somebody whose concept of themselves is one where they feel like they can dance. But you have a concept of yourself that you can't. You see, then you're trapped in your concept. You could dance. You just got a concept of yourself that you can't.
That's right.
You understand what I'm saying? That's what the Course is trying to... That's what the Course calls the ego. The ego is just another term for your self-concept. It says the ego. It's always talking about the ego. He says that's just your concept of yourself. So when you say your ego made you do it, he's saying you're saying your concept of yourself made you do it. You know, if I feel afraid, I feel insecure, if I feel angry, if I feel jealous, that's my concept of myself. My concept of myself is that I can lose in relationship. That's just a concept of myself. And then I attract people to me who reinforce that concept. If I have a concept that women leave me, I'm going to be attracted to a woman who's going to abandon me. So that my concept of myself will be true. That's the way it works. You attract people to validate your concept of yourself. And you don't have to even outwardly say that. It's just the way the universe works. So if you believe that you can never be in a relationship that you can totally trust in, love in, be free in, be safe in, and that's your concept of yourself, then you'll attract people who seem to betray you to make your concept of yourself correct. But that doesn't mean there aren't people out there who are real. That's why you're safe, because they don't attack you. Everybody's as nice as you think you are. Another one of those statements that either three of you are depressed. So if you don't think you're nice and lovable, then don't get upset with people for not being attracted to you, because you know you understand why. I want to be the most miserable, selfish, closed-minded man that ever lived and draw a goddess. I want people who have every quality that I don't exemplify. I want somebody who knows how to totally love, be totally generous, totally forgiving, totally give me freedom, totally let me be, totally supported, totally confident, totally abundant. Would a person like that want you? Would a person like that want you? Would a person that together be looking for someone who's afraid to say, I love you? No. I'll answer. No. That's why we always get what's left. That's why we always get what's left. All the loving people love themselves too much to join with someone who can't love them. First of all, they know they would be too frightening to that person. So you always, for the sake of your healing, you always draw the people to you that's on the same level of dysfunction or function that you are, so that you can love at a pace that won't scare you half to death. If you were a person who had a lot of insecurity and you were with someone who seemed like they had complete confidence in themselves, I guarantee you it wouldn't make you feel better. But if you knew you had some insecurities, and I know I had some insecurities, and we both wanted to go beyond our insecurities together, now I feel cool being with you. So you should be glad that you're with people who don't seem like they're no more enlightened than you are. They won't bring up your insecurities as much. As a matter of fact, if they act crazier than you, you get a chance to feel slightly superior. So like a little payoff. You can go, oh, I'm going to bring them along. Then he bring them to the class. They need it. It's funny how people always start out laughing with me, but by the end of the class, it gets strange and quiet. You know what that means? It's really funny. It's like, yeah. Because the Course in Miracles pegs us. It pegs us. It nails us to the wall. I'm so glad. So let's go further. Let's get another peg, shall we?
Yeah.
But before we get pegged, any questions, any comments? Yes.
My lesson today was 94. It said, I am as God created me.
Mm-hmm.
And it said that this one statement alone of the Course will stop the ego.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. Because I know what you're talking about. Myself,
who I really am. So the key is, when you, what's so cool about going through this is what I've learned from doing the Course, is if you will let yourself hear what it's saying, it simultaneously corrects as you hear it. So just because I know I have a face of innocence now, it'll have less control over me than it used to. Just because I'm not unconscious of it anymore. And I'm also going to be safer because I know everybody around me has one. So I won't be fooled by yours either. And don't you admit that pain comes from self-deception? That you feel pain when you deceive yourself?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so whenever you're hurting, just go, I am deceived. If you want to end pain fast, when you hurt, go, I am deceived. I am deceived. And if you're really angry at somebody, you know, I'm deceived about you. Let me tell you what I'm deceived about you about. And if you could say that, if you could be conscious enough to say that, even when you're upset, you transform your mind. Let me tell you what I made myself mad about today. Let me tell you what I made myself mad about today. Let me, it's a trip. Then you're angry, and you're not denying your anger, but you're telling yourself the truth. And you're empowering yourself in your own anger. That's how you do it. Then when you're not in repressing your feelings, but you're also transforming them. It's good stuff, ain't it? So, the Course says, this aspect can grow angry, for the world is wicked and unable to provide the love and shelter innocence deserves, and so this face is often wet with tears at the injustices the world accords to those who would be generous and good. He says, this aspect never makes the first attack. But every day, 100 little things make small assaults upon its innocence, provoking it to irritation, and at last to open insult and abuse. I never would attack first, but every day people just irritate me just so many different ways. They're provoking me. They're making me feel irritation. And at last, I feel like I've been assaulted, insulted, and abused. Anybody recognize that face? Then it goes, see, if it's the truth, you can always tell, because if it's the truth, it applies to everybody. Notice in the regards of our religious beliefs, our spiritual beliefs, our philosophies, all of us are basically going, because all of us recognize that face. All of us know we've made a face up like that. That's what's so beautiful about this book. To me, it's so in your face right now. You can see it. That's what's powerful. Then it goes, the face of innocence. Didn't anybody else have a question? I got carried away. Okay. The face of innocence, the concept of the world, the face of innocence, your concept of yourself, so proudly wears, can tolerate attack and self-defense. It's okay for me to blow you away when I think you're going to hurt me. Even though I'm a nice person, I'm taking you out. So, you know, a real spiritual person has their affirmation, their mace, and their 45. We are all one. Damn! I love everybody. I'm running over you in my car if you shake my pocket, babe, one more time. Okay? Anybody recognize that self? I used to ask God, why didn't lots of people come hear me speak? Now I understand. Okay. He said, isn't it a well-known fact that the world deals harshly with defenseless innocence? You have to attack in self-defense because you know how the world deals with somebody who's just so innocent. He says, no one who makes a picture of himself or herself omits this face. Because you have a need of this face of innocence. You know why? The other side you do not want to see. No, this book. Why did I make it this nice, Earl? Because
you don't want to read. The other side you do not want to see.
It's like, don't raise my coffee. It's a real pretty coffee, but don't you pull it up. You'll see what I swap under it. So I'm trying to distract everybody with the pretty coffee. While you so busy looking at my house, my car, my body, my looks, my prestige, my influence, you're not paying attention to what's going on the inside. It's the pretty carpet. Mm. So everybody makes up a pretty carpet. And that's what attracts them when they first see each other at a party. Ooh, what a pretty carpet. My God, I'd like to be her vacuum cleaner. I'm a Hoover, baby. I'm here. I'm a Hoover. Okay. told somebody you suck? All right, so you're already using that concept. One of the rules of the Course in Miracles that Jesus says, which is a book claims to be channeled by Jesus to correct the mistakes that he about what he taught. But it totally says you don't have to believe that or accept that, and that's okay, it don't make no difference.
One more time?
That the Course in Miracles is channeled by Jesus to correct his teachings that have been distorted through fear and distortion and anger and guilt. Okay. But it doesn't make any difference whether you believe that. Okay. See, to get into whether or not that's true, to make it determine whether or not you see the truth of what I'm just saying, is just a distraction and a defense against what I just said. Because regardless of what appears to be the source of this material, you can't deny that what you just heard was the truth. Right, so it doesn't really make any difference where it came from. You know it's the truth. You know you have a concept of yourself. You know you have a concept of yourself that sometimes you're a victim. You know you have a concept of yourself that you could be nice at what other people have done. You know you have made up a self like that. We all have made up a self like that. And so it says, the other side, though, you don't want to see. He says, that's why he says you got to do the Course with humor. There's a big message in here about don't forget to laugh. Because if you become serious on the spiritual path, it's very difficult to hear the truths that you're going to hear. It has to come in some form of joy to let it in. You'll be amazed at what you can take in laughter. Like the minute you laugh, and you will let people say stuff that you would never let them say to you seriously. You'll let people say stuff to you when you're laughing that you would never let them say seriously. So every time somebody is joyful around you, they're able to take in larger concepts than they would be if they were sad around you. So that's why when somebody's angry, they can't accept your ideas. They're shut down. They're not expanded. They're contracted. But if they're happy, they're like, wow! Anything you want to get in there, I'm ready! Anger. And that's where people try to talk to people the most. The madder you are, the more you say, let's talk about it. It's crazy. I'm angry, let's not talk about it. That's what you do. I'm angry, let's not talk about it. Give me a minute to get some sanity back. Give me a minute to get centered again. Give me a minute to get back to the right perception, and let's talk about it. If you want to guarantee something isn't solved, try to force communication when the person is most in fear. It's just a trick to not get the situation solved. It's also just a subconscious desire to separate from that person, so you try to communicate at the time that you know is probably going to make y'all separate, and that's what you do when you're with a person that you want to separate from. You always try to talk to them when you're upset with them. That's how you know you want to get rid of them, because that's the worst time to talk to them. So you can possibly want to keep somebody you only talk to when you're upset with them, and you're quiet all the rest of the time. Have you seen the dining dead? When you go to like restaurants, you see couples that are dining dead.
Yeah.
They sit there, and they don't say one thing to each other the whole meal. There's probably two people who had the hots for each other a long time ago.
Yeah.
What happened? Their concepts of themselves changed, and their concepts of each other changed. And so now they have two dying dead concepts. How do you know it's just a concept? Because they can meet anybody else, and their passion will come back. How do you know anger and upset isn't real? Because when you're with somebody and they're angry and upset and the phone rings and they go, hey, how you doing? That lets you know it's all phony. If you were really that messed up, a phone call wouldn't change it. So you know it's a choice, the way they're feeling around you is a choice. They're treating you that way out of their choice. Because you saw they could choose to express themselves another way, just like that. Isn't that wild? When you study the Course in Miracles, you get so hip to how the psychology of the mind operates that the only reason why you get fooled is because you just want to punish yourself. It'll never be because you didn't know better. I promise you, if you read this book and you study this book, you'll know exactly how the mind operates. You won't know the form it's going to take, but you'll know the content. So it'll be harder to be hurt because it'll be harder to deceive you. And so your pain threshold in your life will go way down. Because the less self-deception you have, the less pain you have. The more self-deception you have, the more you're always upset. So what would you do tonight if you're not feeling good about yourself or some area? You would just say to yourself, I'm deceiving myself financially. I'm deceiving myself in my relationship. I'm deceiving myself in my job. I'm deceiving myself about my body. Just try it, because you'd finally be telling the truth. Okay, I'm going to try to do one more paragraph so people can do them until they know what I thought.
Okay. I understand.
You understood that, didn't you? Isn't it scary? Isn't it scary? Yeah. When you really learn how to communicate, words won't matter. Mm-hmm. Beneath, I love this, he says, the other side you don't want to see, yet it's on the other side the learning of the world has set its sights, for it's on the other side that the world's reality is set to see to it that the idol lasts. So the world is trying to keep you thinking that you are somehow a limited human body instead of an unlimited spiritual being. Everything in the world is set up to make you think you are only a human body. Every commercial, every television show, every ad in the paper, every car you're being sold has one message to you. You are here in this body, and that is what you are. That's why I'm telling you what these pills you need to take for gas. Because you're a body with gas. I was just beginning to think I really, really, really was spiritual, and I needed to rip one. Because you just couldn't imagine Jesus farting. Excuse me. Thou art the fart. Okay.
God bless you.
So every time you find yourself getting serious about the path, try to lighten up.
Yeah.
That's what you see me always trying to do. So I'm trying to lighten up. I don't want to get serious. I want to have a good time. So, beneath the face of innocence, there is a lesson that your concept of yourself was made to teach you. It's a lesson in a terrible displacement and a fear so devastating that your face that is smiling above this concept must forever look away from it lest it perceive the treachery it has. This is the lesson that your concept of yourself is trying to teach you. Okay, so here it is. This is the lesson that the concept you have of yourself is trying to teach you. This is your lesson. This is the lesson your concept of yourself is trying to teach you. I am the thing you all made of me. What I'm going through in my life is because of what you all have done.
Yeah.
What I'm going through and what I've experienced as a black man in America is because of you. That's what the world is trying to, the concept of the self that the world teaches is trying to make me believe. That I am what you made of me. He says that's what our concept is about. It's about me going, you know what? I'm a victim of my environment, my childhood, my parents, my social economic, all everything. I'm what everything else made out of me. He says, and you stand condemned because of what I am. Just look at what I've become, and I'm in such bad shape, I'm going to condemn you for what I'm going through. What I'm going through is your fault. I am the thing you made of me, and that's why my face is wet with tears, even though I'm this nice person, and I don't know why this happened. It's your fault. It's your fault. I'm condemning you. If you were a better person, I'd feel better right now. First time you ever met me, it's your fault. Some people doing it with their parents. Oh, the reason I am today because my father was an alcoholic. And because my father was an alcoholic, I could never been able to have a relationship. I am what my father made of me. That's my concept of myself. Is it hitting home? my father's fault.
It is true, it is your fault.
Nina, you still going to sing?
I am. Well, you tonight?
Yeah. Remember we said that yesterday. But if you're not prepared, that's okay. Okay, sorry. All right, sorry. That's okay. Just wanted to check in.
Dadgum.
Oh, yeah.
It's your fault.
I am the thing, you know. Okay, did everybody get that? Everybody get that? Do you have a concept of yourself that says you are the thing that somebody else has made of you? Well, that's what the Course says. That's the purpose of that concept. And so it says, I love this. It says, on this conception of yourself, the world smiles with approval. And you notice that other people agree with you so fast when you go, you know, she really did me wrong, man. They go, yeah, man, she sure did. Boy, I really am a victim of being, you know, being a black man in America. I'm a victim of the white establishment. Yeah, man. That's what it's the man, man. It's the man. See, the world always smiles with approval when you're projecting and blaming others for what you're going through. Then it says, why? Which is a good question. He said, well, why? Because it guarantees the pathways of the world are safely kept. It guarantees that you will not escape. And whenever somebody goes into agreement with you in terms of you thinking that you are powerless, that guarantees you won't escape from the situation that you're in. And so I'm here to blast that concept of yourself that you have by telling you that it's a concept of you and it's not you. And that you are more powerful than any concept of yourself that you could possibly come up with. And the only reason why things are working or not working is because of your concept of yourself. And so all you need is a what? New self-concept. That's all you need, is a new idea of who you are. And so what the Course does is it gives you new concepts of yourself that free you. But these concepts are so close to what you really are, the beauty that you really are, the innocence that you really are, the power that you really are, that at some point your concept of yourself and who you really are is so in alignment that you become who you really are and you experience your power and your glory and your innocence and your spirit in a way you've never experienced it before. That's the time it is. So it's about admitting I made the self-concept up that I have that's limiting me, admitting to myself that I need a brand new self-concept, and then investing in that brand new self-concept while realizing you still got an old self-concept that you're still going to see some evidence of while it fades away. So you won't be fooled when your old concept of yourself make you do something that you used to do into thinking that it means you haven't changed. It's fading away. So while you're making this transformation, you mustn't condemn yourself when your old after image concept of yourself makes itself known every now and then on the way out. And we are here to support each other in that new concept, which is that you're innocent, you're guiltless, you're sinful, you're sinless, and you're loving. And see, that was the other side, the sinful, you know, the other part. Yeah, you know, you got that other side. You know, sinful side. How come every time I'm having fun, that's a sin? That's what I used to ask myself when I was a kid. Every time I was having fun, that's a sin. I want to be a sinner. It's like they party a lot more. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes holy people look kind of dull, don't they? Don't do nothing. What you doing? I'm holy. Sometimes you have to bag that butt up. Okay. I'm going to stop here. I'm going to stop here now. Would you acknowledge yourself for hearing this?
I think I'll stop right now.
I have a concept of myself that I need love offerings. I'm a full-time teacher of the Course, and I do my classes on a love offering basis so that anybody can come, no matter what the financial situation is. But this is what I do in the world, so thank you for supporting this. The Course, thank you for being generous with me and valuing what comes through me. And thank you for your support of Unity Temple. Because they let us come here and have our class, so we want to support them also. Here goes. Next class is at 1 o'clock on Sunday. I do 3. Help me out a little bit by,
so it's good to be reminded of that.
Anybody else care to share anything they've appreciated about what they've heard tonight?
I appreciate the dining dead. Next time I see them sitting out
on
the dining table, I'll go up and say hello.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're going to do a little resurrection.
My concept with myself didn't spread that far.
You know, that's what I love, though, is when you're willing to be on your edge. You know what I'm saying? It's like life isn't exciting unless you kind of get right up on your edge. You know, and so I want to support you in doing it innocently and doing it safely. Anybody else have a thought?
If my self-concept was given to me, I can give it back and choose one of my own conscious choice.
That's what I'm doing too. That's what this book has been about for me all these years. And people ask, why are you still doing it? Because as long as I'm here, I want to remember these new ideas of myself, because they produce really loving experiences, man. I'm telling you. It makes all the difference in the world. Okay, well, here we go. You ready? Okay. So I'd like to ask you to close your eyes and just shut out everybody. I mean, you're not good at that. Just try to shut out everybody and not pay attention to nobody. I know that's hard. And I want you to hear this. It's called Spirit Rap. Yeah, turn it down. That's good. Get it over there. The light switch right to dim it down. Yeah. Just take a breath. We'll take about 3 or 4 minutes.
Physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and this now, with the full support of the Lord, all that's in the ascended master realm to include our ascended master self, all the saints and names, Saranda, the Holy Mother Mary, Kwan Yin, Goddess of Mercy, Archangel Michael and the Legion, Ashtar and the entire command, Balaji, Raphael, Gabriel, Clan of the Trumpet Angels, Aboriginal and Tribal Shaman, Goddess of the Fortune, Angel of Light, Yodhim, Clan of the Serpents, Shiva, all Christ frequency, all animal totems, element of the fire, air, water, all divine beings of light, love, and ascension, named and unnamed, to activate the cells within my being who are your counterparts with the unified power of the one. I decree my highest good always operating in this now. I decree grace and mercy always operating in this now. I invoke, decree, and dream away the full truth and reality of ascension in this now. I invoke and dream away with every breath that I breathe, the body of fire transmuting my whole being. I invoke and dream away the full current of ascension in every cell of my being. I am ascended. I invoke and dream away expanded God consciousness, fully realizing me as unlimited abundance, fulfilling my every need and desire. I invoke and dream away the ending of procrastination, tiredness, blockages, obstacles, and unhealthy belief systems. I decree immediate abundance in my life. I invoke and dream away my liberation from all karmic debt. I am infinite opulence. I invoke and dream away my personal empowerment in every instant that anyone is impacted by my being and creations. I invoke and dream away the infinite empowerment of my sexual, spiritual, mental, emotional, physical, and financial relationship with life. I invoke and dream away sacred sexuality, erotic innocence, and always express the sacredness of sexual force for pleasure, creativity, and healing. I invoke and dream away world universal healing from all sexual woundedness and shame. I invoke and dream away worldwide release of all manipulating forces and beings who would control humanity past, present, and future. I invoke the angels and ascended masters to realign and heal all misused energy to include the full restructuring of our DNA. I invoke and dream away the transmutation of all negative and judgmental projections. I invoke and dream away my constant ability to be centered and balanced in my psychic perceptions and empathic nature. All overwhelming psychic energies are released by me automatically, easily, effortlessly. I am empowered by everything. I invoke and dream away my lucid dreaming each night I sleep and over remembering when I awake. I invoke and dream away my infinite harmony with God, Goddess I am. I invoke and dream away the full expression of my miraculous healing power. My life is a continuous stream of miracles. I invoke and mind, and ability, and willingness to receive all life's blessings. I invoke and dream away a constant attitude of gratitude for my whole life, all my accomplishments and blessings, including the same for the universe at large. I invoke and dream away the full blessings of God, Goddess, the ascended masters, angels, guides, and beings of light to bless this earth. I invoke and dream away all my decrees, invocations, and prayers I have released to the universe, and open myself to God's response to support and love in my highest good. I invoke and dream away the release of all past, present, and future lifetimes of decrees and vows which would bind me to limitations, lack, density, and anything not of ascension in this now. I invoke and dream away the full reclaim of my eternal self as powerful, loving, and fully aligned in abundant God consciousness. I invoke and dream away the total dissolving of all manipulating forces which would bind this earth, land, and fear. I invoke and dream away the influence of the ascended master realm and angels to intercede and raise the vibrations higher to bring darkness into the light, raising the frequency of love and dark consciousness on planet Earth in this now. I invoke and dream away the ascension of planet Earth in this now.
That's
going
to be on the
tape. Yeah. So that's our new self-concept.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming. Hugs are available. I appreciate you.